Well, tonight I'm going to ask you to stand if you can. Keep your Bibles handy. I want to look at three passages before we begin tonight. First one being Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then over in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then our last scripture reading, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Help us yield to your word, yield to your spirit, and your presence here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and his people said, Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The word peace is used a lot of times in the scripture. And both in and out of scripture, people will use that term peace. We need peace in our world today. And the interesting thing is, there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace rules and reigns in people's hearts and lives. In the Old Testament, peace conveys rest, security, prosperity, friendship, tranquility, and wholeness. In the New Testament, again, harmony, union, tranquility, health, and every kind of good. This peace that the Bible talks about is an example of two enemies coming to an agreement. Complete opposite, complete opposition to each other. And they come to an agreement that settles differences, that ends any hostility, and transforms enemies into friends. Now, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Colossians 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth and or things in heaven. That so many prophecies fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the oldest books of the Bible is the book of Job. And it would do us all well sometimes to get a chronological Bible and to read things in sequence as all the way through. In other words, there may be a passage in 1 Samuel that lines up with 2 Chronicles and all the way through. But one of the oldest books, the book of Job, Job makes this statement. He said, Oh to God, would to God that there was a daysman. In other words, somebody that could get a hold of holy God and fallen man and put them together. And this was his prayer. And if you will, it was a prophetic prayer, because it looked forward to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and would have the ear to his heavenly Father and have his hand on fallen man. And he would be that mediator that would bring the two together. Well, Jesus is the source of peace with God. Isn't it amazing? The first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, if you will, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, do you know that both the Jew and the Muslim both accept the first five books of the Bible? Isn't that something? But it's amazing, the things that they agree on is what keeps them from having peace. Because both of them believe that Jesus was a great prophet. But because they do not accept him as the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, then there is that strife. There's that warfare. There's that enmity between the two of them. And isn't it something to say, I have the answer to peace in the Middle East. Y'all all come to Jesus. And that sounds so simple, but it's the truth. Well, there's no peace for those who are against God. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, in Isaiah 48:22. When people tell you, I feel very comfortable not believing in the Lord and not doing it, you know, they're fooling themselves. And I was able to talk to a young man the other night and said, you know, you can tell me that you don't believe in God, and that doesn't shake my faith, because I know better. And I said, I have to choose to either believe you or to believe the Lord. And I'm going to go with God, whether you believe in him or whether you don't. Ecclesiastes says that he has placed eternity in our hearts. In other words, it doesn't matter how far you run, how fast you run, there comes a time when you have to stop. You have to lay down and close them eyes, and you'll know without a shadow of a doubt that God will speak to you. There's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You know, as a sinner, I didn't want peace with God as I wanted peace from God. I didn't want to line up with him. I wanted him to line up with me and to tolerate the things that I thought needed to be tolerated on. And it's amazing, really, when we listen to our prayers, it's not to align heaven or to get us in line with heaven. It's trying to align heaven with us. We've got the answer. God really doesn't understand the problem, and so, Lord, I'm going to tell you this, so you'll know how to work this out. Because I've already got the answer before I ever come to you with a problem. And we try to get him to line up with us. You ever tried to persuade God why this was the right way for things to work? It didn't work, did it? I think a good example is in Romans, the third chapter. And we have several scriptures, so please keep your Bibles handy. Don't read one verse and shut it down. In Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I got to stop there a minute because I've had so many people to say, I remember when I really started searching for the Lord. Yeah, you stopped for just a moment because the Lord had been seeking you. And he'd been putting things and people in your path to get your attention and to draw you unto himself. But the scripture says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. You know, it's a wonderful thing being a pastor because sometimes people will let out a string of cuss words and they say, preacher, I'm sorry. I said, you don't have to apologize to me. You didn't take my name in vain. We can be still right now and you can apologize to the Lord. It's his name that you took in vain. Well, it says, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul is writing like today's headlines. It's interesting. Those who hate the God of peace hate those that love the peace of God. That simple or that complex. Well, Jesus is the peace of our salvation. Think about it. He's the peace of our salvation. We sing some of the old songs, but like Dave and others try to encourage us to listen to what we're singing. You know, for instance, burdens are lifted at Calvary. You know, man, you can't get anything more biblically correct than that. Burdens are lifted at Calvary when someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist, excuse me, the psalmist David in Psalms 85, Psalms 85, 6 through 10 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord shall speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely this salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now, I love verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Isn't that something? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, I love Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in the fifth chapter and the first verse, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how it was for you, but the night that I was saved, it was in a big old church, and I sat way in the back. And when the invitation was given, to this day, I don't know how I got to the front. But I stepped out, and the next thing I knew, I was at the front. And I was saying that I wanted to be saved. And the evangelist or the pastor, whoever it was there, shared with me the plan of salvation. And I confessed my sins to the Lord and asked Jesus to come into my heart and life and save me. And I walked that aisle burdened, but I left that place. I walked back down that aisle with the anvil lifted off my chest, with the weight removed, because I had experienced that justification by faith and then had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to that, I didn't have any peace with God. In fact, a lot of times on Saturday night, I would pray to God as a lost person. And my prayer was basically, Lord, don't kill me tonight. That was my basic prayer. That's where it started from. And I'm going to do better. And Sunday, I'd show up in this church that never has, doesn't, and I don't know if they ever will tell people how to be saved. But I would sit there and I would just kind of let the Lord know that I was here. And I'd kept my end of the bargain. He didn't kill me. And I showed up in church. But nothing changed until I accepted Christ as my Savior. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, is sin built a barrier? You know, there's, if I don't lose my thought, you know where the scripture says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The word straight there is like if this was the entrance to a cave or something, or an entrance to eternal life, that there are things that clutter up the entrance that keep people from coming to know Christ, that keep people from being saved. One, they're worried about what others are going to think if they do. They're going to think about, well, I'm at this age right now. What if I all of a sudden give my heart and life to Christ? What about my job? What about this? What about that? And there's something that's a hindrance that keeps people from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin built a barrier. And sin kept us, keeping us from having peace with God. But the wonderful thing is, the Prince of Peace brought the barrier down. Amen? And we praise Him for it. That's basically what Ephesians chapter 2, we go with 8, 9, and 10, but there's a whole lot of good stuff there. Verse 14 and 15 says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Peace is possible between holy God and fallen man because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to peace within. One of my favorite verses, I've got two. All of my counseling is condensed into just a couple of verses, you know. Saves time. If you don't want to listen to this, hit the road, Jack. You know, but one of them is, and I had a chance to share it with a workman this last week, John and I talked to him, and he said, you know, I'm an independent contractor, and with me it's either feast or famine and this and that. I said, well, there's one verse that you ought to use to guide your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And it was interesting, he came back today and he quoted that verse to Joan. So evidently that one stuck. And another verse that when people are troubled is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things of good report, so on and so forth. Think on these things. And the God of peace will take care of it. But sometimes we look at the glass and it's half full. And we whine. And we complain. Instead of looking and seeing the blessings of the Lord. Had a discussion today. You know that verse that's so hard for us to digest is Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose. You know, it doesn't mean all things are good. It means that they can work together for good to those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. I've always said, and I don't like it, but it's still true, I think we learn as much from negative events in our life as we do from positive. You know, it's one thing to want to live on the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John, they were up there. Lord, there ain't no sense in us going down. Let's build three tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah. Oh, we'll build one for you. You know, but there was a valley below that needed ministering to. We like the mountaintop, but the growth comes in the valley. You know, when I've had the sweetest, and I have to be careful how I say this, but some of the sweetest fellowship that I've had with people have been in a hospital waiting room. Because then there's no pretense. You know, we're dealing with things as they really are. You know, and we learn and we grow and we see what's important and what's not. Well, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. To deal with whatever worry, whatever anxiety, we need to take these verses to heart. And then to realize that God will allow this peace to indwell you. You ever seen some people go through some really difficult times and still yet had the peace of God dwelling within them? It's unbelievable. God will allow protection from the evil one, Romans 16:20. He will sanctify and preserve you, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says. He will complete you and make you well-pleasing in his sight, is what Hebrews 13:20 says. So, we know that the Lord will energize the Spirit-filled life. Paul wrote again to the church, he said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That brings it down, doesn't it? Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's interesting, but peace always comes before joy. Until you know the peace of God, peace with God, then you can't really know the joy of God. And so we pursue peace and the things which bring joy in the Holy Spirit. He's our source of peace. Don't you love the fact that even through tears we can praise the Lord? That we can experience this peace that passes all human understanding. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his heart will one day be destroyed, and that without remedy. There comes a time when God says, enough's enough. You know, so tonight, if you don't know him, you can know him. Right where you're at, bow the knees of your heart, agree with God that you're a sinner, ask him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart and life and save you. And if you do, he will, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we look at our Lord wanting John the Baptist to baptize him. And John says, I don't need to baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, allow it to be so now, for it fulfills all righteousness. If God speaks to your heart, you settle that. Maybe you're here, saved, identified, but don't have a church home. If God is leading you here, we want you to know that you're welcome. Let's stand and pray.